You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You know, it just struck me today, you know, 52 weeks in a row we've been doing this, you know.
Yes, indeed.
A bit over a year ago, a man to my right came to me and said, you know what, Will, I got a vision. I was like, what's that, Wally? He was like, you know, I get tired of, you know, the sports talk radio and ESPN always reporting on the stories that they want to talk about. You know, why don't fans get a chance to talk about? Why don't fans get a voice? Why don't we get to express how we talk, how we feel about sports? You know, every Saturday in the barbershop, you just go to the barbershop or go to the cooler at work. You know, why aren't our voices heard? You know, and, you know, Wally told me that vision and I was like, oh, let's do it. Let's get into it. You know, he was like, you know, I'm going to bring Fish. I'm going to bring in Ray. I think it'd be cool, you know, something for us to do just in our spare time. And, you know, over these 52 weeks, it's become a passion, an obsession for us to, you know, voice our opinion on sports. So, you know, I want to thank you, Wally, for allowing me, you know, to take part of your vision and helping make the Urban Sports Scene one of the hottest podcasts, sports podcasts in the world that's out there.
Yeah, I feel like I can shed a tear. Yeah, man, I felt like Martin Luther King Jr. I had a dream. And then with this dream, I thought of four special guys. Ron didn't make the cut, though. He decided not to. He decided no show. But I had a dream, and it happened. I brought the wisdom of Will T. Shorter. That was a big element of my dream. The comedy and the knowledge of Ray Rogers, and the in your face attitude, as we all saw on episode 10, by Mr. Jeffrey Walters, A.K.A. Fish.
Fish.
Yes, as you all know him.
All right, well, you know, every Tuesday, if you don't know, this is the Urban Sports Scene podcast. You know, every Tuesday we here, we're talking about sports. You know, that's one of our traditions. Over the past 52 weeks, it has been a tradition. And if you listen to the show, then you know we also start off our show with another tradition, which we call a pregame. So let's get into it, Wally. Charles Schwartz of Australia won the 2011 Masters on Sunday. What'd you think? What do you think of the Masters in general?
Well, you know, I'm not a golf fan by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, it must be Tiger being the enemy that's making me now a fan of Tiger Woods in golf. I watched the Masters. I was rooting for Tiger Woods. When he was 10 under, I thought he had it. I thought he had a good chance to pull it out. And I don't even care about this Schwartz guy because I think he was irrelevant when it comes to the Masters. I think I'm going to use an example what Jalen Rose said. When he did his Fab Five speech, he said, name me the team that beat the Fab Five in the championship. Then name me, as a matter of fact, name me the roster of North Carolina's team who beat me in the Fab Five, beat me in the Fab Five in the championship game.
Can't do it.
Yes. Now, don't worry, at like 10 years from now, you won't know who this Schwartz kid is. You know, no. But you will remember that Tiger Woods had an opportunity to win it all. I mean, in terms of winning the Masters, because all the naysayers, all the haters that said that Tiger Woods wouldn't be able to get back on major level in terms of competing, he pretty much almost pulled it out.
Yeah, he did. I mean, I'll be honest, for the first time in my life, I sat and I watched golf for 3 hours. I watched the whole Sunday of the Masters. Actually, it's kind of funny. I was checking the internet. I turned on, you know, checking ESPN just to get an update on, I think it was the Celtics game at that time.
Yeah.
And I saw that the headline was Tiger number one. I was like, Tiger's number one? I was like, man, I got to check this out. This is historic. This is history to me. This is, it's special to me because, you know, me personally, I root for the underdog. So, you know, Tiger regaining. You go ahead.
No, that's funny. You just said it. Tiger Woods as the underdog. Tiger Woods, before the whole scam with, you know, with the mistresses and the porn stars or whatever.
I don't think it was a scam.
Well, you know what I mean. The whole situation with the porn
stars.
The situation
is better.
Yeah, you're right. With the porn stars, he was the greatest thing since sliced bread and golf.
He's bigger than the
now,
sport.
Now, you just referred to him as the underdog. Now, that's amazing to me. And that's why I was rooting for Tiger Woods.
Yeah, well, we're going from an icon to a guy that just is in a world of his own. Manny Ramirez, the guy tested positive for band performance enhancements causing him to retire. Was this was his third positive test, if I'm not mistaken,
his
correct?
His second. His first one was in the Dodgers. With the Dodgers, the second one was like now. So, Manny Ramirez, don't get me started.
Let me ask you this question first. Is Manny a Hall of Famer? He retired, Friday? Is he a Hall of Famer? His career is done. Even though he of the banned substances, is he a Hall of Famer?
He's a Hall of Famer to me. Just like I think Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire are Hall of Famers. Even Roger Clemens, when his time comes up, I think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't like I said, we had a discussion before we started rolling the tape and whatnot. To me, Major League Baseball is the biggest hypocrites. Them and the whole, it's like its own little organized gang. The owners, the commissioner, all these guys in the early 90s when steroids was big, didn't say nothing. Matter of fact, some would say they pushed steroids on certain players just to make the game popular because they lost fans because of the strike. Now, who is being punished for the steroid use? The players. Not Buck Selig, not Andy's owners that own Major League Baseball teams, the players.
I mean, after, you know, with all the banned substances going on in baseball, you know, the one guy who looks credible and looks smart, Jose Canseco. To me, you know, many years ago, Jose Canseco was saying, oh, this guy's juicing, this guy's juicing, this guy's juicing. And people just looked at him like, who are you? You're Jose Canseco. But now that he let baseball's little black secret out, you know, that's when I think baseball and baseball purists became outraged. They became upset. You know, it was like a family secret, but then you open the door and you let everybody else in and see it, and that's when people start to get upset and get testy.
But don't think steroids to me, and if it is steroids, the true hardcore steroid, whatever the banned substance is, I don't know what it is, but don't get it twisted. Manny Ramirez is still a flat out great baseball player. Steroids does not make you a great baseball player. I mean, he hit .312. His career average is .312. He has over 2,500 hits, and he has about over 500 home runs. He has had a great career. You cannot say that steroids made him hit .312. Sammy Sosa couldn't hit .312 in his career to save his life. Mark McGwire, who according to Jose Canseco, has taken steroids pretty much since he was young, couldn't hit .312. Barry Bonds, same thing for Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds has always been a career great hitter. You can't – steroids is not going to make you a career great hitter.
No,
Manny Ramirez is a great hitter.
It takes a certain level of skill. I mean, I know just for me personally, I remember when Manny Ramirez went to the Dodgers, and that tear he went on for that half a season when he got to the Dodgers is incredible. That's one of the things that people are always going to remember about him. He's always been a great hitter. He does have kind of an aloof personality, and people are probably going to remember him most. I know Boston fans will for
statement Manny being Manny.
Manny being Manny, and also him forcing his way out of Boston, but enough about Manny. We're going from one likely Hall of Famer to a set in stone Hall of Famer, and that's Eric Morales. Eric Morales fought on Saturday against Marcos Miranda in a 140-pound junior welterweight fight. Did you see the fight?
No, I didn't get a chance to see the fight, but I believe you did, though, right?
Yeah, I got a chance. I watched parts of it.
Okay, what I read was, because I did a lot of reading, I am an Eric Morales fan, even though I didn't get a chance to see the fight. I read that the card was 114-114.
Yeah, one judge had it 114-114, then the other two judges had it 116-112.
116-112.
Yeah.
And Miranda, right?
Marcos Miranda.
Miranda, he was supposed to dominate this fight in terms of what people thought going into the fight.
Absolutely. After his performance against Amir Khan, in the beginning of the year, everyone thought that this would be a walkthrough for him against Eric Morales. But Morales showed that he still has some fighting spirit left in him. If anything, I think both guys, even though Maidana won the fight, I think both guys from setting themselves up from a perspective of another big fight actually won from that perspective, because there's going to be high fan demand for both of them.
And I guess this is the question I have in terms of that fight. Do you think that this fight is warranted a rematch?
I think it warrants a rematch. I wouldn't say right now. First of all, we can't determine if it necessarily warrants a rematch until we see the pay-per-view numbers. If a lot of people turned in and bought it, then it's going to warrant a rematch. A lot of people that are really into boxing, as if you listen to the show, you know I am. I think that it's a fight that I want to see again in the future, but not right now.
I mean, I want Eric Morales to get his rematch. This is a question I want to pose to you, Will, anyway. Eric Morales' father stated that he felt that his son got robbed. And since you did see the fight, do you believe he got robbed? Or do you think...
I'm not going to say he got robbed, because clearly one judge saw it as 114, 114 saw it as a draw. What people don't understand about boxing is, especially when the fight takes place in Vegas, the fight is, they score on ring generalship. That means which guy's controlling the pace of the fight, and clean and effective power punching. If you saw the fight, then you know Maidana landed a lot of solid, clean power punches. And that's what got him the points that allowed him to win the fight. So, like I said, it's just my opinion. And that's why we have this show, so I can voice my opinion. If you don't agree with it, you can always Twitter. You can always tweet us. Yeah. Tell them how to get us on the tweets, Wally.
Just at us at Urban Sports Scene. So, it's not that hard. You know the name. We're everywhere on Twitter. So, at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up.
Yeah, and we'll go from a guy who a lot of people potentially thought got robbed to a team that has robbed their fans for the past three postseasons, and that'll be the Washington Capitals. The playoffs start for them tomorrow night, Wednesday, against the Rangers down in D.C. in the Verizon Center. Now, whenever the Capitals play, when it's playoff time, the deep round of Verizon Center is electric. It's one of those feelings that you really, outside of a Redskins game, and that's pretty much a Redskins game in the beginning of the season, when the fans are really jacked
here
up and really out into it.
Here he goes again.
No, I'm just telling the truth. I'm just giving it from my perspective.
Yeah, Eagles perspective. Go ahead, man.
Nah, you're getting, that's the type of energy. It's a great energy around the Verizon Center. Are you excited, Wally?
Yeah, I'm very excited as a Caps fan. Like I said earlier in the last show, not to have my special guest, Brother Al, not here. We had a good little argument last time, but Capitals are going into this. I think they're going into this playoff, this Stanley Cup playoffs, playing good hockey. Honestly, they've been playing for something. They've been playing for the number one seed, and now they've got the number one seed.
Well, let me cut you off right there. There's been the past two seasons they've had their number one seed.
But they've locked it up early. Like, they locked it up a couple of weeks ago in advance. They were so much better than everybody.
So you're saying because of the previous years, because they were coasting.
They were coasting.
This year, they had to aggressively fight to get to the number one seed. You think they're going to be a better team coming to this playoffs?
It's momentum. You're ending the season off hot, and you're bringing that momentum into the playoffs. This is which is totally different.
Well, You're right. Momentum does count for a lot, but also having another star player counts for a lot. Mike Green, he's ready to come back and play. What do you think? Do you think this enhances their chance to win a title, to get to the to at least get past the first round?
Oh, definitely. It's going to enhance their chances of getting past the Rangers. Mike Green is, like we said earlier, is one of the best defensemen in the game. And definitely, if not one of it, is the best offensive defenseman in the game. So to have that, have him back in the fold for the Caps, putting in Ovechkin, of course, and Alexander Semin, you get those guys going, the Caps can go on that run to the Stanley Cup.
All right, well, you alluded to it. You think they could possibly go on a run to the Stanley Cup. This against the Rangers, this opening series, what do you think? How many games? Caps and how many games?
Well, I think the Caps should be able to take this, in my opinion. A lot of people think it's going to be tough and things of that sort. I think the Caps should take this in five. It should be 4-1. My only concern with the Caps is that they're starting Michael Neuvirth. He's a rookie goalie, even though, he had the all-time record within the Caps for wins as a starter, as a goalie. And I would rather start them starting Vermaloff, because he's more experienced. He's had a couple good stretches. Even a couple years ago when he played against the Penguins, he had a good stretch against the Penguins. So I would rather them play him. But they're going with Neuvirth. Hopefully he pulls it out. Like I said, I don't think the Rangers are good, are strong enough to beat the Caps. A couple years ago, they played the Rangers in the first round, and they beat the Rangers. So they can definitely do it again.
All right. That's cool. You know, speaking of the NHL playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, you know, when we come back from commercial break, we'll get into another playoffs, a playoffs that I know I'm personally excited about because my team is finally back in there for like the first time in 7 years. That's NBA playoffs. We're talking NBA playoffs when we come back.
This is President Barack Obama. In the story of America, the greatest chapters are moments of challenge, when we see people serving their country and one another. Volunteers who step forward into hospital corridors and church basements, along levees and fire lines. And the next chapter is yours to help write. Sign up to volunteer at usaservice.org. That's usaservice.org. Let's renew America together.
A message from Renew America Together, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody, from the commercial break. Wally, tell everybody how you get in touch with us and where we can be, where you can hear our voices.
Sure. To listen to the show, visit www.wallio.podbean.com. Also, if you do want to listen to the show, we're on iTunes. Just search us on iTunes. We're on Facebook and even Twitter. You know, like Will said earlier, you can at us on Twitter and on Facebook. Please, you know, like us. We need to be liked. And if you
I
have,
don't need to be liked. No, I don't care. No, I don't need anyone's approval.
We're a unit. We need to be liked. All right.
So we can
expand.
So,
so we can expand our brand.
Expand our brand to a cult-like following.
You know it, homie. You know it. And if you have any questions or comments, you know, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com.
Yeah, if you email us, just know it's Wally that's going to be getting back to you. So if I say something that upsets you, it's going to be Wally responding to you. Wally might forward it to me, but in all likelihood, I probably won't answer it until I get back on this microphone. All right, but, you know, like I said, we alluded to before the commercial break, NBA playoffs. You know, outside of, well, pretty much the Eastern Conference is pretty much set.
Yeah.
There are a lot of great matchups in the Eastern Conference. The Western Conference, still a little wiggle room, a couple of things to still be determined. You know, this year in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference, you're going to have, like, I would say they have a past rivalry, which is the Knicks versus the Celtics, teams that have history. Then you'll also have the Bulls versus the Pacers. And if, you know, if you were an 80s baby like me and Wally, then you saw those great Chicago teams led by Michael Jordan against those okay teams led by Indiana Pacers, other Indiana Pacers led by Reggie Miller.
And then, come on, Reggie Miller. Some had, you know, they had Chuck Person back in the day, but
yeah.
But that was more Boston Pacers. I see what you're talking about.
Yeah, so you know, it's a couple of series that are very intriguing to me. Anyway, then out in the West, I know one of the series that we talked about last week was Detroit versus OKC, and we're talking about
Detroit, Denver.
Denver versus OKC, and we, you know, me and Al were having a discussion. You know, he was saying that home court is
essential.
But you know, for these two teams, it's essential because they essentially have they can create a home court advantage. Do you think that this playoff, these opening rounds of the playoffs, would be one of the more fan friendly playoffs in recent history?
Not all of them. I don't think it will be that exciting. I do want to see Chicago and the Pacers, but we can get to that later. The game that I'm more intrigued with, if it does go down, I've mentioned this team before, but they were when they were playing the Trailblazers, but now it looks like for right now, if the playoffs started today, the Dallas Mavericks would be playing the Memphis Grizzlies, and we all know if you've watched the playoffs for a while in terms of what teams excite you in terms of. Of a run or whatever, their first time being in playoffs. It's always that young team. And the Memphis Grizzlies are very young. Though they're missing Rudy Gay, they have O.J. May. They have a good young nucleus of O.J. May off the bench, of course, Conley Jr., and Marc Gasol, Pau Gasol's younger brother.
And you also can't forget Zach Randolph.
Of course,
I'm not going to mention 20-10.
Of course, Zach Randolph is 20-10. The reason I mention he's a vet, but you got youthful players, you know, and they can definitely give Dallas some run. Matter of fact, in the series, they beat Dallas 3-1 this season.
And I don't mean to cut you off, but I'll say this. It happens sometimes. Sometimes I just feel a need to express myself, such as now. I do actually think if that playoff series were, if that was to lock, I really do think the Grizzlies would beat Dallas. I'll say this. Even though Memphis has been in the playoffs in recent years, they have such a young nucleus. They don't really know how to lose. So, like, if Dallas gets down maybe 0-2, Dallas would be like, oh, you know what? We've been here before. We've lost to the Warriors. We've lost previous times. We've lost in the championship game against the Miami Heat. So I think mentally it'll really screw with them more if they were to get off to a slow start in this series, where opposed to the Memphis Grizzlies.
And do you know why that would occur? Why that would that why that would mess their heads mess up Dallas's heads up mentally? Reason because, and I'll put this out there, is because you are let whoever your leader is,
you take on that personality.
It's a trickle down effect. Now, Avery Johnson was a coach, so we can't go with Carlisle because he was on that team.
Right.
But the leader on that team is their star player, is Dirk Nowitzki. And, you know, even like that Miami game, what you're talking about, like the Miami championship game, they lost to Miami in the NBA Finals. That trickled down to the Golden State game where he was the MVP that season and he choked. In the playoffs, he choked. He did that. He's been doing that for a couple of years now. Now, in this series, it's honestly a similar team to Golden State. Now, they're not the one seed, but it's a similar team to Golden State. It's a young, up-and-coming team, like you said, that has nothing to lose. I want to see if Dirk's going to do what I think he's going to do is choke. I want to see if we're going to get the real Dirk. You know what I mean? And not that little Dirk who makes little game-winning shots in the regular season. I mean the real Dirk, the one who chokes. You know what I mean? Ron, you hear me? Chokes. Dirk who chokes. I want to see that Dirk come out. Because I know
Ron
he's going
to
come out.
Yeah, you Ron don't listen to the show.
Well, Ron heard me last time clowning Dirk. He was talking trash on the slide. He know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, shout out to you, Big Ron.
Yes, shout out to you. Come to the show.
Also, shout out to my other two co-hosts, Fish and Ray. They couldn't be with – as you probably picked up already, if you only hear me and Wally on the mic, then you know those two guys aren't here, especially if I have to lead the show in, because if either one of them here, I'm sitting here chilling on the side.
And tell them why are you leading it? Because it's a what?
It's a revolution, baby. A sports revolution,
yes,
baby.
Sir. Yes,
it's
sir.
The resistance right here.
Yes.
If you ain't know. But anyways, back to the NBA playoffs, man. Sorry. We had a moment. We have a little thing going off the air. But the thing to me, you know, another intriguing first round matchup to me would be Miami versus the 76ers. The 76ers, they've kind of stayed up under the radar this year. They haven't had a lot of press. But Doug Collins has done a great job with that team. I think I'm not going to say this is going to go seven, but I do think they'll play five or six highly competitive games.
They'll be competitive. I think Miami will win this in I think there'll be a sweep.
A sweep?
A competitive sweep.
Oh, man. A sweep isn't competitive. That's an oxymoron, Wally.
No, they'll be close. A close sweep. Do you remember back in the day when the Bullets played the Bulls in the playoffs?
Yeah, and they were supposed to be the team of the future with Juwan Howard and Chris
and
Webber.
None of those games were blowouts. They were all very tight, close games.
Okay.
Just happened to be a sweep.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that The 76ers, because I Iguodala will try to do a decent job on LeBron on the defensive end. Lou Williams, I think Lou Williams is going to get out. I don't think anybody on that team can really stop Lou Williams. And who am I missing on? And Elden Brand. Well, Elden Brand can bully up Bosch.
Chris Bosch,
he can bully up Bosch.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, they have some favorable matchups. Don't get me wrong, but I think that Miami is coming into the playoffs kind of strong. They blew out Boston. I think they're hungry, though they struggled against Atlanta yesterday, which was kind of weird. But I think Miami right now is on a mission to prove to naysayers that, you know, that they are a team to be reckoned with in the Eastern Conference.
And then last but definitely not least, the series that I think will be the most entertaining is out West. And we talked about that previously last show, and I mentioned it earlier. But Denver versus OKC is going to be up and down. You got two very young teams that pass the ball very well, a lot of ball movement, play pretty good defense. So I think that's going to be entertaining, but I do think OKC pulls that out in six.
I'm going to tell you this. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I have a strange feeling that we won't even see OKC be playing Denver. It's going to be a different team.
Oh, really?
I don't think so. I think OKC is one game behind the Lakers. They're one game behind. I think Dallas, too. One game behind the Lakers and Dallas. Honestly, I can see OKC playing, grabbing a 3 or 2 seed.
All right, but you mentioned it. You alluded to it a little bit earlier. The Lakers struggling. You know, you have the Lakers who were the representative from the West last year. You have the Boston Celtics who were the representative from the East last year. Both of these teams are struggling a little bit coming into the playoffs. Boston, they sat their big. They sat 4 of their starters yesterday against the Wizards. Our hometown Wizards actually won in overtime. I actually went to their game on Saturday against the Atlanta Hawks.
Oh, that very was good a travesty.
Game. Yeah, it was very.
I'm talking about from Atlanta. That was a travesty.
Yeah, you should be embarrassed, Atlanta.
Yeah, you really should.
But you know, if the Lakers, they could play Memphis, New Orleans, or Portland. Which team do you think they had the most problem with? Which gives them the most matchup problems?
I think that was an easy one. I'm gonna go with Portland. That team has players and they have talent. Now, even though Brandon Roy is a little gimpy, but you know, and you know, he's been playing with this injury for a while now. He's still a threat. And we all know about Aldridge. I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge, like I've been saying over and over again, is probably at the moment the best power forward in the game, I think. And it might be a stretch. I don't care. To me, he's the best power forward in the game.
I mean, everyone's entitled to opinions. Exactly. They're like a-holes. Everyone has one, and most of them stink.
Yes, thank you. But this one's great. You know, this is a good one. This is a good one. And they have Marcus Camby, so they have bigs who can
Cotton Candy.
Marcus
Cotton Camby. Marcus Cotton Camby.
You're a Knicks fan. I can tell. That's that Knicks thing. He's a great defender. He'll be going against that means he'll go against Pau Gasol. They'll have bigs to go against, you know, Pau Gasol and Bynum. So yeah, I think they're dangerous. They are a dangerous team for the Lakers. I don't think the Lakers want to play Portland. I really don't. I think they're going to try to win tonight against the Spurs as hard as they can because they don't want to play Portland.
Yeah, I agree with you. If they play Memphis, that would be they run over Memphis. New Orleans, they put Kobe on Chris Paul, and then essentially you'll neutralize their only real threat.
It's not even that. They don't even got. I mean, West ain't there. West is out for the whole season.
Yeah,
if they had West there, I was like, okay, they can compete. But they don't have West.
Yeah, out of all three, I agree with you, Wally. I think Portland will give them the most trouble just because of their length and their style of play. Nate McMillan, his teams are always well coached strategically, and they always come to play for 48 minutes. But let's get to the other part of the equation from last year's final, which is the Boston Celtics, man. If my memory serves me correctly, they were 41-12 before the trade of Kendrick Perkins. Then after the trade of Kendrick Perkins, they've been 14-12. So you definitely see, even though I will say this to their defense, for I think the first couple of months Kendrick Perkins didn't play. They were going with Shaq and Jermaine O'Neal. They're going to play my team, the Knicks. The New York Knickerbockers, the Carmelo Anthony-led New York Knickerbockers. Let's get it straight, people. Do you think Carmelo and Amari, they can pull off the upset?
No. They shown
that
me.
Simple?
Is that simple to me? I'm sorry.
Oh, man, you harsh.
I'm being real, man. I like Melo.
I mean, I like Melo. Let me ask you, when I'm real with your Washington Redskins,
I'm biased.
I'm being harsh.
I'm biased. When you say that, I'm biased.
Okay, at least you let the people know. At least everyone knows.
I'm a diehard Skins fan. Let it be known. But I'm going to say, like, honestly, if Melo, like I said, Melo can get out, and I always say a superstar can give you a game in the playoffs. A superstar can give you a game. Because Melo, in essence, is a true superstar to me.
Exactly.
He gets you a game.
Okay.
But they don't play defense. And against Boston, in a seven-game series where they lock on. They're going to lock in on what you do. Because in a seven-game series, you're going to know what I do and vice versa. So it doesn't matter. The better defensive team usually wins. And last time I checked, Boston beat the Knicks all three times this season. I don't think the Knicks.
It was competitive, though. The one in the Garden.
The one they choked?
No. Where they waved off Amari's three.
Oh, I mean the first one. Then I mean that's the seventh. That was the first game, I think.
Yeah,
right?
That was the first one.
The last game. Do you remember the last game?
I remember the last.
So okay,
game.
This is how you could tell a team when you know a team, you know an opposing team has your number.
Okay.
Mentally.
Okay.
The Knicks had that game. I can't remember the point where they had to, they were up about, it was like they were up double digits.
Yeah, it was up 20.
Even that fourth quarter, they were up. I want to say within the last 5 minutes, it was helter skelter, but they were up maybe about a 5-point lead. But the way they gave it up, it just showed that they knew for some state, like, the chance of beating Boston was that much for them. Like, they really wanted to beat Boston to the point where they can't even focus on playing good basketball. You know why? Because they know in their hearts they're not better than Boston. You know? They know.
I'll give you that.
That's all I'm saying.
I'll give you that. I'm not going to argue.
Fans don't hate me. I'm just keeping it real for y'all. The team up north in Massachusetts, y'all scared of.
I don't think scared isn't the word I would use. I think that the Boston Celtics when it comes to closer to the end of the game, are better at executing and finishing games and finish it out. Whereas the Knicks, with our style of play, what am I saying? I don't play for the Knicks. With the Knicks style of play,
on live you can. There's no more NBA live.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Nah, it's no live. The Knicks style of play is not conducive to finishing out a game because they struggle in half court sets. There's a team that, you know, Mike D'Antoni, 7 seconds. Get the ball up, take a shot within the first 7 seconds. But, you know, when you have two great superstars like Amari Stoudemire and Carmelo Anthony, I do think that kind of brings us not on par with the Celtics, but a little bit below par. And I think it'll prove to be a very, very competitive and entertaining series. But speaking of the New York's dynamic duo of Carmelo and Amari, you know, our dynamic duel of Waliola and Will T will be back after commercial break.
Hi, this is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm going to smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
Well, you've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
You can listen to us on the Apple G's radio show on Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. The show is hosted by Vivian and Coach.
Yeah, this past Sunday, me and Wally were on there. We had a very interesting conversation about women's basketball and other things in sports.
Yeah, it was a great conversation. We were talking about how, and we might sound sexist, but I'm shallow. I'm sorry. I'm gonna be real with you all.
Essentially, we said that if you don't have 10 Skylar Diggins out there playing basketball and college basketball, nobody wants to watch it.
They don't, and it's the truth. Like, I want to see a Nicki McCray and a Skylar Diggins and a Candace Parker. Everywhere.
No one wants to see Brittany Griner. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't. And again, I'm gonna say what I said at the end of the Apple G show. Skylar Diggins, you need to follow us. Now I asked you already on Twitter. I ain't getting no response. I'm gonna do it again. I'm gonna keep doing it until you respond to me. We want an interview. It's gonna be out of respect. Nothing disgusting.
Oh, absolutely.
Keep it cool.
We're professional.
I'm just saying you are a great baller. Who is beautiful? Is that wrong?
Patience and persistence, my brother.
Thank
Patience
you,
and persistence.
Thank you.
But before we went into break, Wally, we had a couple of tweets. Did we
had
about
like
the,
one tweet.
We had
basically
one tweet about the
saying
Knicks.
What you said about your Knicks, agreeing with you. It was Tim D. Groot. He said Melo and the Knicks are going to beat the Celtics. So Tim, I mean, I love your passion. I'm glad you're a Knicks fan.
That's the thing that people as Knicks fans, such as myself, we haven't had over the past 7 years, which is hope. Yeah. We finally have hope now.
And I'm here to squash your hope. I'm here to squash it.
You're a hater,
KG's
man.
KG's going to squash you.
You're a hater,
Paul
man.
Pierce and Jesus Shuttlesworth. He got game. Isn't that great? He got game. Spike Lee in the audience. You see where I'm going with this?
I see where you're going
with
this.
See where I'm going with this?
All right, but I see where you're going, but we're going to take it out to the Midwest now, to the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, which is Chicago Bulls. The Bulls are number one. Do you think they're a serious contender to win it all?
No. The Bulls? No, I don't think so at all. I think Derrick Rose is awesome. I think he is the best point guard in basketball. I said it before way back, and I'm going to say it again. He is the best point guard in basketball.
I think he's had the best season for any point guard, MVP, but we can have that discussion later.
He's the MVP and the best point guard in basketball, but the team is still too young, and I don't think he's got his bumps for him to actually say that he can get to the championship and win the championship. I think that they do need a two guard. They don't have a two guard to me to get them over the top.
What are you talking about? They have a local boy, Keith Bogans, yeah.
You going to DeMatha? We ain't in Kentucky, and this ain't DeMatha. And last time I checked, Joe Forte, where you at, boy? But I don't think they're at the point in terms of, if you look at the other teams, like the Celtics, even though, I mean, they can compete with the Celtics. I'm not saying they can lose. They can compete with the Celtics, but it's a tough, it'll be a tough role for them.
All right, but, you know, before they can get to the Celtics, they have to get past the Pacers. Pacers team's a very young team. They made a coaching change during the middle of the year. They've gone to playing their younger players, given a lot of young guys like Paul George, Josh McRoberts, Roy Hibbert's always started, A.J. Price, giving a lot of those guys.
Collison gets the ball now.
Yeah, Collison gets the ball. They're giving a lot of those guys some burn now. Do you think that the Pacers would be able to contain Derrick Rose? Because you got to remember, Derrick Rose almost averaged a triple-double against the Celtics not too far back a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
That was kind of his coming-out party to a lot of people. What do you think the Pacers would be able to do against him?
They can't contain him. Let's just be real. They cannot contain him. But if I had to choose a one seed out of all the one seeds, all the one seeds in the last couple years that I think that – AC can compete with, I would pick the Bulls. And it's not because of Derrick Rose. Honestly, it's nothing against Derrick Rose. His supporting cast, to me...
Go deeper on that. If you think out of all of the ACs...
They're the most beatable one seed I've seen in a while. You know, even though they're regular seed, other than Dallas, that year Dallas lost to Golden State, I thought they were beatable too. Mm-hmm. They're one of the beatable one seeds I've ever seen. Because I think they're so predicated on Derrick Rose. If the Pacers luck up and play decent defense with Derrick Rose, or if Derrick Rose is off, happens to be off, that team can lose.
But you got to remember, they have a former all-star forward on that team, Carlos Boozer.
Oh, Mr. No-Show in playoffs? Mr. No-Show?
I didn't call him that. You called him that.
I know why I didn't mention him. I know why I didn't mention him. You know, he doesn't show up. Utah against the Lakers, he used to always hide a little in the corner and chill. He might as well be in Alaska again. Chill in Alaska. That's all I'm saying.
You're going a bit far, man.
Mr. No Show.
Be respectful, man.
Go
be respectful.
With Sarah Palin somewhere. You're Mr. No Show. I'm not even worried about Boozer. If Rose dominates the series, hands down, they dominate it. It's over. But when I look at the Bulls, I just see Derrick Rose.
All right, but you know, from the MVP in your eyes and Mr. No-Show, we'll talk about another guy who a lot of people over the past two seasons have said hasn't shown up in a big game for his other team, and that's LeBron, excuse me, King James.
Thank you, King James.
As you like to refer to him.
He's King James.
King James.
He's a witness, baby.
And the Miami Heat. I think this year is a little bit different than his other previous years in the playoffs. He actually has a bona fide superstar with him, and when I say a bona fide superstar, I'm talking about Dwayne Wade, people. I'm not talking about Chris Bosh. Sorry. What do you think the Sixers' chance in the series?
Well, we talked about that earlier during the first portion of this discussion. Sixers have no chance. Just come on, pack your bags. You know, go get a Philly cheesesteak. What else is there in Philly? Brotherly love. Go chill with the Rocky statue,
mm-hmm.
and call it a day. And see if you can find Don Chaney. I haven't seen him in a while.
You're funny, man. All right, but, you know, to my understanding, there was a guy who was a former Knick, Eddie Curry. We all know Eddie Curry's financial trouble. He asked to be released. He was actually traded to Minnesota. Then he was asked to be released so he can catch on with a playoff contender. I guess he was under the assumption that the Miami Heat will come knocking and ask for his services around playoff time. They haven't, because I'm getting word that Udonis Haslem may be ready for the first round. He may suit up. Do you think that with Udonis Haslem back around the bucket, around the goal, this makes this a tougher team to beat?
Yeah. Udonis Haslem was a missing piece. What Chris Bosh lacks in toughness, you have in Udonis Haslem. Now, Chris Bosh has in skill, Haslem doesn't have. But within toughness, a guy who's actually a tough individual. I look at Udonis Haslem as the old school without really being going as hard as it was the old school Charles Oakley. You know what I mean? He does the dirty work. He might not have Oakley's bravado, like because Oakley was to the extreme,
right?
You know, but he's that mold. He'll do all the dirty stuff, knock down the open jump shot, rebound, check your best big. He does the things that Chris Bosh isn't capable of doing.
Yeah, Haslem, I think he's a good rebounder, pretty good post defender. So I do think, and we all know if you watched Heat games, which how can you have, and they've been on every Sunday and on TNT and TBS and ESPN and NBA TV.
Not TBS, though. But you're right, though. Everything else, though.
Yeah, they've been on every other sport outlet.
Probably Housewives or Basketball Housewives or something.
Probably. I don't know. I don't watch that show. You know that one of their key weaknesses has been defense in the post. So, you know, I think in that aspect, you know, from a rebounding, a tougher guy around the basket, and post defense, I think Udonis Haslem will help him. But also, you got to remember, Udonis Haslem is like what, 6'8"?
Yeah, but like I said, he plays. What he lacks in height, he plays with heart. And not a lot of guys in the NBA have heart. He does have heart. And you mentioned Eddie Curry. I actually like that signing. I think they should still sign Eddie Curry.
I don't think Eddie Curry. If he hasn't played for this long, that guy's probably eating himself out of shape.
Yeah, I know that's what you're thinking. I'm probably the minority. I think Eddie Curry is actually a talented young man. I think he's going to be a good center in the NBA. I just think the Knicks, has screwed his career up.
I don't think so. I think he screwed his own career up.
That lifestyle over there.
What lifestyle, man?
That crazy up all night losing lifestyle that he had in New York back when they were losing.
I mean,
you're
a grown man. You control your own self, but that's another discussion for another time, man. Matter of fact, Wally, cue that music. You know the music that I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Walker. Flocker.
Pardon the pay, baby. That's what we talking about right now. Wally, which player do you think will go hard in the paint for the first round of these playoffs?
In the first round, who's going to go hard in the paint? I'm going to go local. Roy Hibbert's going to go hard in the paint in the first round. I think Noah's going to be checking him. I think he'll get any shot he wants against Noah. It'll be a rematch of winning games in college when Georgetown played Florida and Ray was irking me about Noah. I can't stand you, Noah. Oh, Roy Hibbert dunks on you. I'm choosing Roy Hibbert to go hard in the paint. Noah, watch out. Hoyas, destroyer.
All right, I like that. I like that choice. You know, obviously, you know, if you've been a fan of the show, you know this is usually where I'm not prepared and I usually skip to someone else. But I'm actually prepared this week. The guy that I'm going to go with going hard in the paint is Marc Gasol. I think Marc Gasol will average a double-double against whether it's the Dallas Mavericks or it's any other team that he faces. I think he'll average a double-double. The guy's aggressive. He's big. He's a banger on the inside. I think he'll step it up. He'll show everyone why the Lakers why the Memphis Grizzlies wanted to trade for him and get rid of his brother.
Yeah, but before we go to commercial break, speaking like going hard in the paint, a guy who did go hard in the paint in the national title game and in the tournament, Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker's going pro.
Yeah, I think it's a good move for him. From my understanding, the guy graduated from college in 3 years. He's won a national championship. They screwed him out of the National Player of the Year. What else have you got to prove in the college basketball? I think they screwed him.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think Jimmer Fredette should have won it, but that's a conversation for another time. Yeah. Like I said, you know,
I'm more excited that you'll see Shelvin Mack try to test the market. I'm not saying he didn't get an agent, but I'm more excited for Shelvin Mack. I don't really care for Kemba Walker, as if people may know. I'm sick of hearing about Kemba Walker. I'm sick of his story. I'm sick of his little everything else. Kemba Walker this, Kemba Walker that. I mean, I feel like on Twitter, he must be trended like no other. I'm sick of Kemba Walker. And don't even compare him to AI. If I hear it again, I'm smacking somebody.
All right, since you're sick of Kemba Walker, we're going to let you get over your sickness of him. We're going to go to this commercial break. When we come back, we have a interesting topic, to say the least, about sports, America's favorite sports, and foreign athletes.
Yes,
so
sir.
We'll be back.
Yes, sir. Maya Moore is better than you, Kemba.
Hey, what's up? It's your man Ray Rogers of the Urban Sports Scene. And recently, Will T and I set out on a mission to see what the people think of our show. All right, there's Mike Wilbon right there. Wilbon, what you think of our show, dog?
I should say the next, it's the big thing.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up, man. We feel the same way. Coach Rivers, Doc Rivers. There's Doc Rivers. Go ahead, Will T. Get an interview with him.
Coach Rivers, how do you feel about Ray no longer being the host of the Urban Sports Scene?
I mean, Ray, he was absolutely sensational.
Yeah. I feel the same way, man. I thought I was great as the host, but it's all good. Big ups to my man, Fish. There's Alvin Gentry, man. Coach Gentry, what you think about Fish being the host of the Urban Sports Team?
I've always been a big fan of his.
Oh, so you're familiar with him before the Urban Sports Team when he was host of the Mac Fish Show?
No, I'm not saying that, okay? No.
So what are you saying? Anyway, man, let's move on. There's President Obama. Obama, my man Will T here, he dissed World Cup, man. What you think about him dissing World Cup?
He's a jackass.
Keep it locked to the Urban Sports Team because you never know who's listening.
Welcome back from commercial break. Wally's gotten over his sickness of Kemba Walker. But Wally, tell the people about the show that you and Ray appear on every Thursday. Excuse me.
I'll do that. It's all good. You can listen to us on the Sports Crib podcast show on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Stiller Fan. The show is hosted by Jersey Mike Jr. and West Coast Stiller Fan. And Skylar Diggins, you can listen to us there too. Just like I said, Skylar Diggins, we're on that show. We everywhere. You can't hide.
Say it one more time, a third time, man.
Like, Skylar, you can't hide. Oh, you want to hit again? You want to say the whole thing?
No, Skylar. Say her name third time.
Skylar Diggins, baby.
Feels good, doesn't it?
It feels good. I want to say this one thing. Notre Dame, I'm just so mad you can get the overtime. If you just give me like 5 minutes of seeing her again, I would have been happy. But still, though, in terms of the Sports Crib, last week was their one-year anniversary. They're doing it big. They've done a great job, man. They've had a good following. They definitely have a cult-like following. And they're doing it. And I want to give big ups to Jersey Mike Jr. and West Coast Stiller Fan. One, for making us a part of your family. We appreciate it. And two, just for giving us a bunch of laughs, man. Every time we do it on Thursdays, it's just a pleasure.
That's what's up, man. Well, Wally, I got a couple questions for you. This last segment, you know, going to have a kind of an open discussion between me and you. All right, Wally, when you think of who's the best boxer, who comes to mind?
Oh, Pac-Man.
Pac-Man. Okay. When you think of the best player in NHL, who comes to mind?
Between Ovechkin and Crosby.
Baseball player.
Oh, Pujols, definitely.
Pujols, okay. Wow, is there any other sport I'm forgetting?
Any sport that we care about?
That we care about besides?
Oh, basketball. Yeah, basketball. Well, basketball, you know, it goes any which way. But it's a very mixed environment.
Well, no, I'm gonna say this when it comes to the NBA. What type of player are people most excited about when it comes draft time?
Seems like the unknown.
The unknown
overseas.
Overseas. All right. All those questions and all of your answers. What's the common thread out of all of your answers?
I'm thinking of, if I had to think of one, maybe like an overseas.
Yeah, a lot of foreign athletes,
something like that.
All right, I got another question. I know I'm 21 questions.
I'm asking you a lot of questions right now.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like I'm on Jeopardy or something. Go ahead.
I'm gonna ask you two more questions. what's America, what does sport do you think what people refer to now as America's passion or pastime?
Oh, you know it. NFL.
Right, right. Are there any foreign players that dominate NFL?
There are some Nigerian players, but nothing like real.
I mean, you, if you think about the top NFL players,
no,
it's not Nigerian.
No Nigerian player, I know.
All right.
Represent Niger.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to ask you one more question. Do you think it's because every other sport is dominated by a foreign player that's the reason why NFL, American football, is the most popular sport in America, in the States?
Of course. It's the same reason why, and I might be, this is nothing to do with race, period. It's the same reason why.
Because actually, let the people know, you're actually foreign descent.
I'm Nigerian. It's nothing to do with race. But it's the same reason why when you see a Jimmer Fredette are playing college basketball, people are that much enamored with them. Or even the young white boy who was in the college dunk contest.
Yeah.
It's the same reason. People, they want to see that. They want to see, a lot of people want to see their own.
Yeah,
do certain things. Yeah, it's the same thing with Larry Bird. People were happy to see Larry Bird. So I'm not. It's not a race thing. It's just, it is what it is.
I think with people trying to make so much of an onus of a society, of a culture of inclusion, that means we're a culture of diversity, where we have a diverse makeup of friends, a diverse makeup of coworkers, associates. I think the reality is people just naturally gravitate towards what looks like them. They're most comfortable with what looks like them and what is them. And I think that's part of the reason why so many Americans, football is their passion. There isn't any foreign player that dominates football. If you think about boxing, boxing is dominated largely by foreigners. Manny Pacquiao.
Filipino.
You have the heavyweight champions of the world, the Klitschko brothers. Russian. The Floyd Mayweather, if you really think about it, he's the only American born, and he's the lineal champion, but he's not an alphabet champion. He's the only American born champion that has any baron whose name has any state in boxing. If we go to the NHL, you think of the top two players in the NHL, Crosby, who's Canadian. Then you have Alexander Ovechkin, Russian.
You have Malkin, who for the Pittsburgh Penguins, who's Crosby's counterpart, one of the best hockey players in the NHL, it happens to be Russian. So I mean, there's, like you said, you know, even years back, even for years, within the NHL, Jaromir Jagr, Mario Lemieux was a Canadian. Wayne Gretzky's Canadian. You name it, they're not from America.
Yeah, over the past 20 years, there's been a really big influx of foreign athletes playing in the major sports in America. Basketball, you have Dirk, Yao Ming, you have Tony Parker. Then every June, when the draft comes around, there's always, it seems to me, the GMs are always excited and seem to get up about a foreign-born player who plays in another, whether it be amateur or professional league overseas, and averages like 4 points and two assists. And they say that translates great into the NBA game.
Which annoys me. Like I said this on the Apple G show. If Jason Capono, who played in UCLA, who was one of UCLA's best scorers, was overseas doing what he did in UCLA, and be advised, Jason Capono was a late first round pick, I think late first round pick or even a second round pick. If he did what he did overseas, Jason Capono would be a lottery pick.
Absolutely. You look at Brandon Jennings. He went over to overseas for a year. He didn't play a lot, even though he's an American born player. He went overseas, didn't play a lot. He was also a McDonald's All-American, I know, so don't tweet us and saying, oh, well, he was a McDonald's All-American. I know that. The point being is, to me, it just seems like foreign people who go from a foreign land or who play in a foreign league, there's much more excitement about those players. And people, you know, to me also, the NFL, the reason why it is so popular is because there's no foreign players that dominate it. They're players that are from America.
And we have a Facebook response from Thomas Curl, who disagrees with you, Will.
Okay, what do you say?
He says, no, because out of every sport, the NFL has the shortest season, which means every game means something.
Well, I'll also say this to Thomas. You think about two other sports, tennis, where every match you play in a tennis tournament is important, so it's do or die there. And then you also have golf. Golf, you know, clearly the guy from South Africa, he just won the Masters.
Was it Australia? Or was it South Africa?
Not sure. Australia, South Africa.
Australia. That's something. He's irrelevant. Sorry.
Yeah, he's irrelevant.
I'm sorry to be mean to you, dude, but you are irrelevant.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to me, football is the most important sport in America because there are no foreign-born players, and there are players that look like Americans. There are players that Americans can relate to. There are players that don't have a foreign accent. That's why it's so popular.
Well, and then we got a tweet from B5 Dean, who semi-agrees with you, Will. He says, I can agree with that. He can agree with that point, but he does see Thomas Curl's point, too, as well, as saying that, you know, games do play a part in terms of the limited schedule in the NFL season, in terms of the games, 16, whatever, compared to the other one.
I mean, there is some validity to that point, but to me, I'll always come back with the argument. You can look at tennis and you can look at golf. Tennis is literally do or die for each tournament.
You got it. Now you have a supporter.
Okay, thank you.
You know, Bradford Era, he has let me know where I can. Well, hold on. Excuse me. That's the wrong one from Bradford Era. My bad. Here you go. I gotta find it. Come on, Bradford. Where'd you go? I saw you earlier. Here you go. All right, he says, absolutely. Japan and DR have baseball. He says, everywhere else has basketball, which you stated. And he says, Canada, Russia has hockey. We own football and obesity.
Exactly. That's the two most. Listen, America, well, not yet. We own obesity. If you go to other foreign lands, not to crack a joke, but if you go to Africa, you know, obesity, if you say you're looked at, that's looked as is royal. Like, it. People are glad to hang out with you.
My pops told me this, and I have Nigerian roots. He says, you know, if you're a little bit bulky, do the eating. He says, evidence of good living.
Exactly. That's why, you know, when I run into people from high school or any other facet of my life and I see them, and, you know, they've gained a little bit of weight, which we all have over the years, I always say, oh, you eating good, you living right. You know what I mean? So you're obviously not starving.
And that means you still need to exercise or die if it does get you to that point. Believe me, exercise or die if it gets you to that point. Continue, Will. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, you know, I'm just curious to hear other people's responses and what other people have to say about this subject. Wally, tell them where they can voice their opinions about this subject.
Well, if you want to email us, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. If you want to, you know, we have a poll out there on our Facebook, or we have, you know, where you can put comments respond to this question. Just, you know, look us up on Facebook, just the Urban Sports Scene. And even on Twitter, we're out there on Twitter. Just, you know, add us on Twitter, Urban Sports Scene. You know, like I said, we're everywhere. You can't not find us. You know what I mean? So, but in terms of this topic, it's a good topic, man. I remember you came up with the idea. I looked at it. I was like, yeah, this is, you raised some valid points. Why is it that, you know, the NFL, which is the most popular sport? I mean, it's basically America's game.
It's America's game. It's primarily America's. You know what I mean? It's the one sport. I'll say it. It's the one sport where America can dominate at. If you look at basketball, you know, coming off even the previous Olympics, it was the redeemed team. Because so much of more of the world had caught up to us from a competitive standard when it comes to basketball. Soccer, forget about it. We're not number one. No, we're nowhere close to being number one in soccer. Baseball.
Football.
Football. Goal! But yeah, baseball over in Japan.
The DR, man. That's all you have to say when it comes to baseball. It's really the DR.
Hockey.
Everybody else.
Tennis. The top players in tennis are from Europe.
Yeah.
The top boxers. You know, if we go from Olympic, Cuba always wins the gold medals in boxing. It's very rare. I believe the last guy to win the gold medal in boxing was Andre Ward at the 2004 Olympic Games. So to me, so much of the world has cornered up from us from a competitive standpoint in other sports that people are starting to not – they still have a lot of love for the other various sports, but when they think of football, they're like, this is what America is. This is what we do.
Yeah, that's it.
This is what we dominate.
Even my dad, who's Nigerian, he's always said it. Like, football, that's American sport. That's it. That's what they're known for. That's what we are. I am American, too. That's what we're known for. We're known for football. It's not, you know, we're known for basketball more, I would like to say, in the early 90s. Or early 90s, 80s, early 90s.
Right.
Basketball was a big thing, period. We were known for, we're dominant. Jordan, Magic, Bird, whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? Jabbar. It goes on, the list goes on and on. But, you know, you can tell, like, even until this year, in terms of basketball, until this year, and that's because LeBron decided to take his talent to South Beach and whatever you want to call it, and the way superstars are getting traded or leaving their teams left and right. The NBA hasn't been as popular.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with you.
So why is that? You know, American names and American-born superstars being moved from place to place brought the excitement.
Exactly.
That's all I'm saying. Conspiracy? I don't know.
I think it's just the truth.
I'm just saying.
And people don't want to hear the truth. But those who do want to hear the truth about sports, they listen to this show right here.
Why? Because it's the revolution.
It's the fans talking. It's not any corporate... we don't have any sponsors, as you know, if you listen to our commercials. We don't have any corporate
We're real.
We just
Tim
fans.
Ray know about us. We're real.
We just fans giving you our perspective on it, like you were here at the barbershop or you were here at the water cooler or if you were on the phone talking with one of your friends or at a sports bar.
Yes.
You know.
Sports bar, strip club, just shooting the breeze. You know how it is.
Exactly.
Skylar Diggins, you know what it is. You know what it's about.
All right, you're starting to OD. You're starting to scare me, my brother.
I'm sorry.
But anyway, man, that puts a wrap on the 52nd show, man. So it's 52 weeks in a year. So this is the 1 year show for us, man. Now, this isn't our official 1 year anniversary because this is only a 2-man show. But when we get a full roster, as my man Fish likes to say, we're definitely going to do something, you know, we're going to try to do something a little bit more jazzed up, a little bit more special to commemorate the 1 year and bring this thing in with a bang. But until then, I just want to thank everybody for listening to us for these past 52 weeks. Once again, Wally, tell them how they can get in touch with us and where we can be heard.
All right. Once again, to listen to the show, visit www.wallyo.podbeam.com. We're on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And like I said before, we will have blogs. I know I promised you I was going to write one, but things happen. You know what I mean?
I didn't promise that.
Skylar Diggins on TV. But still, if you have any questions or comments.
You had to sneak that in one more
exactly.
time, huh?
If you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. I know we mentioned this before, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. You can listen to us on Apple G's radio show on Sundays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. Show's hosted by Vivian and Coach.
What's up, Vivian and Coach?
And I want to say to them, I feel bad. I didn't mention the same thing that I mentioned about the Sports Crib. They are our family. We love the Apple G's show.
They were the first, actually, if I can cut in, they were actually the first people who realized our talent, as we should say, who recognized our talent and asked us to be part of their show, man. So that's real special to us. So that's why every Sunday, me or Wally, or even the both of us at the same time, you know, we take the time out and we support them, man. We got a lot of love for them.
Yeah, man, we really do, man. We really do. we took our talents to Apple G's, and it's just lovely. It is. And I know I'm getting emotional right now, but it's just the truth. But I'm gonna carry on. You can catch us on the Sports Crib Podcast Show 2 on Thursdays 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WCSteelerFan. I'm gonna holler at you Steeler Fan Thursday. I'm gonna holler at you over there. We're gonna do our thing, Jersey Mike Jr. We're gonna represent. And they said they might want you on the show, Will T. Boxing. Cool. They you know, Jersey Mike was trying to branch out because they're trying to do big things. They're trying to have a different show. The Sports Crib after party or something like that.
All right, but you know, tell him to talk to my agent.
Yeah,
and you know, my booking agent, which is you.
Yeah, okay.
And you know, we'll set things up.
I'll set it up. I know it's not No, it's not. It's not after party because I know I'm wrong because it sounds messed
after
up.
Dark.
After dark. There you after go. Dark. After dark. It sounds nasty, but I know it's not nasty.
We know it goes down in after parties.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do.
We do. We do know where it goes down. But yeah, you got to check it out. It's going to be cool. And he's interested in having like a boxing partner because they want to do another show. And I referred you, Will. I ain't going to lie. Because you're one of the best boxing minds we have in the business.
Thank you. I appreciate that, man. But like I said, man, 52 weeks we've been doing this. Appreciate the love. We'll be back next week to bring it to you, bring you more sports from the perspective of the fans. Excuse me. And just remember, it's a celebration.